Hello, Pisces, and welcome to Astrology for Artists, Pisces chapter. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer and creative consultant, here to talk about finding your self-creative abilities even more deeply than you already have. Since you're a Pisces, you've got an excellent running start on that, and you may have done many things that you have not even recognized as self-creative, and indeed it may be the story of your entire life. The really fun thing about the way that the chart is oriented for Pisces, by the way, I'm using a whole sign system that just begins with the sign in question, so in this case Pisces, and then I count whole signs and I use them as houses. This is a nice old way to do things, and it skips over the need to have the birth time and you know, modern house systems like Koch or Placidus, and it will work in parallel with those systems, by the way. So you might have a different rising sign or something. Listen to that rising sign. But the way that we've got the tarot spread of astrology organized now, we start with Pisces in the first place. That's you, first house. I am a little fish, and count five places, and we come to the creative zone, where the creative zone begins in the chart, and that is the fifth place. And for you, that is the sign Cancer. And the really cool thing about having the sign Cancer on your fifth house is that it is about living your art and living in the midst of your art. Whatever that art is, whatever that process is, your home is your creativity. Now, I had never thought of it this way astrologically, and it's kind of obvious, and I am a sun sign Pisces person, and yes, I personally tend to live surrounded by, you know, every conceivable art implement, with the possible exception of a pottery studio. I guess not possible, but I could make pottery, even though I don't have a kiln. But my home is an art studio, and that's this obvious reading of Cancer, the sign of home, on the fifth house. Now, this has implications. It has things to attune yourself to, and there's many other influences out of the astrology that will give you clues. But the first thing I want to mention about this, besides the fact that that your home is your studio and your studio is your home, is that Cancer is a cyclical sign because it is ruled by the moon. And so the sign Cancer picks up the qualities of the planet that rules the sign, in this case, Luna, Artemis, and it is therefore cyclical. And it is necessary, therefore, to work with the cyclical nature of your creative process in order to make the most of your creative process. And the thing to remember is that there will be tides, there will be cycles, there will be ebb and flood, there will be movements. Your creative process is a moving process. It is not a thing that just stays in one place or is particularly steady, though other things grant you that ability. But as it exists naturally, there is what you might consider tidal movement, and this works for you as a Pisces. And what it does is allows you to keep your life interesting, because you have no need to just kind of hunker down in one place and only do that thing or be that way or work in that one medium, but rather you have the ability to sort of sweep the tables and the floors and the walls clean and start over again. Or to start a project and then to persist in that project for a while, and then to set it aside and start a new one and persist in that one for a while, and then set that aside and come back to it. So the theme of coming back to things is very much a message that is inherent in having fifth house Cancer. And that's something to work with. And I could see where, under some circumstances, it could be challenging, because you think, well, I start something and then I don't finish it. But the thing is, if you look at what you actually do, you tend to return to things. And this is a very helpful way of working creatively because it allows the necessary layering process that's so inherent in Pisces to work its magic. And the reality is that working in a way that taps one into one's creativity is not like building a brick wall, where you start with a bunch of bricks and mortar and a place to put the wall, and it's very clear what has to be done, and there's only so many variables that are going to come into the system, and you need to finish and move on to the next thing. Things of a creative nature, which basically means your entire life, require time to rest and be more active, and require the constantly shifting viewpoint and the different approach to the work, whether that be an emotional or mental or physical approach to the work, and that includes the physical space that you're in. And the most important thing we could say about Cancer on the fifth house is that it is calling upon you to have an appropriate space, or as the case actually will be, spaces to do the work that you do, to really think about whether this is the right space and how to make it the right space. That includes the light and the basic thing you need, which is a table and a chair. Is that the right table and the right chair? And is the atmosphere of the space enough for you? You tend to need sunny workspaces, not dark workspaces. I know that, you know, Pisces is the sign of the fish, and Cancer is the sign of the crab, and all that stuff. And there's different thoughts about this. I mean, you know, one thing that you might learn if you go scuba diving is you go down there, and lots of fish are hiding inside little caves, little teeny caves. And then you look, and there's a fish peeking out at you, and that's where they live. Not all of them, but a bunch of them. And so you might be the cave type of fish, but I would also say that you'll be fed by sunny workspaces. So you might want to have the option or the ability to, turn the light down. My preference at night is to have what I call fish tank lighting. I want all the light bounced off the walls and not coming down from the ceiling, so that it's indirect light. And during the day, I personally prefer direct sunlight. This is, by the way, what I'm describing is Leo on the sixth house. The sixth house is the more focused, devoted workspace. And the art studio is that and can be that. So there's a kind of a blend of themes of fifth and sixth here that I'm describing. So in any event, make sure that your space supports what you do. And remember that part of supporting the work that you do means the ability to change, versatile spaces that can change, that can be more or less cluttered, that can be completely cleared out, that can have, serve different purposes at different times, and to allow yourself to freely experiment and explore with that process of differentiation, of shifting and changing, because your mind needs this cyclical thing. You don't want to just be stuck in one mode, and this will feed your creativity greatly. And speaking of feeding your creativity, food is important. Creatively important. Food may be one of your primary creative outlets, and in any event, taking control of your food is a vital part of feeding your creativity. And, you know, if you're the kind of person with an art studio, make sure there's at least a little fridge and a plug-in burner, which they have really nice ones now that everything has an IP address, so that you can nourish yourself while you're nourishing your creative process. Now, while we're on the subject of physical spaces, I want to point out something I've pointed out before in a number of other readings for Pisces, especially when there's lots of Gemini going on in the chart. But Gemini is your solar fourth house. It's the fourth sign from Pisces. Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. Then comes Aries in the second, and Taurus in the third, and then in the next angular house, the next house on the mutable cross, that is Gemini. And Gemini points to two things, the need for two things. And the fourth is the dwelling space. And so there is something in the Pisces character that I've identified, and I've gotten good feedback on this over time, that calls for a second space of some kind. Now, I recognize for a lot of people, money is tight, and there's not that kind of abundant resource to be able to, you know, have two places or to have a separate art studio or to have a size home with the number of rooms in it. But I would note that in this world, there's a lot of wasted space. There's a lot of under and unutilized space, and there's likely to be under and unutilized space right around you. And so if you are resourceful and have initiative and are the kind of person who can, you know, be a friendly dog and peel your ears and listen and, you know, open your mouth and say what you need or what you want, you may find actually, depending on where you are, but it could be anywhere, that it's easy to get a second space. And the thing about this second space is that it, first of all, accommodates the need for a mobile, changing, shifting, psychically diverse space indicated by Cancer in the fifth. And it allows you to kind of get out of your own way and get out of your own hair. And this can be, for example, as simple as in your apartment, you have two desks. You have a desk, you know, maybe a technical desk with computer on it and where you charge your phone, and another desk in another part of your apartment that's where you keep your paints and or whatever it may be. And I would suggest that you be generous with yourself in terms of allowing your creative process to take over your home. You'll feel good in a home full of creative process, so that whenever you wake up or wherever you go, you know, you might go to the bathroom to pee and you have one of your own pieces hanging up on the wall, or you have a little sculpture that you made on the toilet tank, or perhaps you've, you know, painted the sink or whatever the case may be. You allow that process to that the creative space to infiltrate your entire space, you know, within reason, that being your choice. But I think you'll feel good in that. But the second space is a pretty critical thing. And that second space can even be, in a pinch, like a cafe. You feel really comfortable in where you have your table at that cafe. It can be a shitty, cheap motel in your neighborhood where you go and for $75 once or twice a month, you have you can just kind of tear the place up and spread your stuff out, pack up and leave. It might be a room in a friend's home. It might be the attic. It might be the basement. It might think ingeniously. Think using resources and remember that you will manifest resources as you take initiative. This is vital to know about Pisces with Aries on the second house. Aries is the house as a sign of initiative. It is the ignition. It is the start of things. Similar thing is true about the sign Cancer, by the way. But the second is the house of money and of resources and of your available cash and available resources. And to have Aries there is saying, take initiative. Be the one who starts the conversation. And that can mean scoping out the neighborhood, looking at art supply stores for studio shares, for be they music or otherwise. A lot of people want to share their studio. They'd be happy to have someone contributing $100 to the rent to use this room on a part-time basis, and that would serve the purpose. Personally, as I've grown older, I have found that the quality of physical spaces is ever more important, and as I've worked with people and studied humanity and observed myself, the nature of physical places and physical spaces is an essential thing to watch, and I think that it is the kind of taproot into your creative prowess, which is abundant. Now, let's look at the Pisces Virgo axis for a second. The Pisces Virgo axis is hot right now. Then we'll talk about Venus retrograde for a second. But let's start in this next portion with your sign and the opposite sign, two most important signs in your chart, and then We're going to talk about Sagittarius, a vitally important part of your chart that is coming under a very nice spotlight over the next couple of years. But let's start with the I am and the we are houses. I am house being Pisces, we are house being Virgo. So in your I am house, there is, first of all, Neptune. You probably know about this. It not so long ago arrived in Pisces. Neptune takes a long time to go through a sign. It took a very, very long time to go through Aquarius, your 12th house. And you may not have caught up with the fact that Neptune is in your first house. But the feeling of Pisces, of Neptune in the 12th house was crossing a very, very wide landscape or ocean, either way, that seemed like you would never get there, but you did. And starting in around 2010, planets started moving into Pisces, among them Chiron and Neptune, and then Nessus, and there are a few other elements that I might get into. One of them being Manwe, a planet named for one of the gods in the what's called the Legendarium of J.R.R. Tolkien. Okay, so let's let this truck go by. All right, so you have planets present in your house, which is helpful for Pisces, because the thing with Pisces is that it has an odd way of feeling insubstantial even to itself. It's almost as if you can never quite muster up enough presence to feel your existence in the world sometimes. And there are two approaches to that. One is when there's not planets in Pisces, or at some point when they'll just be Neptune and Nessus, to take a very all-encompassing sense of self and to exist in the world as if the whole world is an extension of your self, your senses, your mind, and your perception. This does not negate relationships. It just establishes that your sensorium, the mind of the senses, the consciousness of creatures, as the Bhagavad Gita says, is the place where the world manifests in your reality. It is the space where you experience existence in your own mind. And this is potentially controversial, since everything does, of course, seem to be out there. But I'm sure you've done plenty of experiments where you've seen that your state of mind has a way of describing the world around you, and you can almost easily ascertain your state of mind by considering the nature of the world around you, and there's a close relationship. But when there are planets in Pisces, as there are now, including one that is very much focusing your self-awareness, and though it may be stirring up the occasional crisis, that crisis can almost always be resolved through raising self-awareness, using that awareness as a means of making decisions, and then actively making decisions, and that is Chiron. That is an influence that will be in your sign for just a few more years, and is a very helpful presence for Pisces, because what it does is it puts a kind of a focusing lens in front of Pisces. The metaphor that I've used sometimes for explaining Chiron-Neptune aspects works just as well for Chiron and Pisces, which is, imagine a movie projector pointed at a screen, and the house is dark, and the movie's been made, and the file or the film are all in perfect condition, and you turn the projector on and start the movie. If you don't have a lens in your projector, you're not going to see the movie, no matter how much work was done on it. All you're going to get is blotchy light on the screen and audio that does not seem to match anything. But if you put the lens in place where it belongs and focus the lens, you will suddenly see all that you've been missing. And that lens and that focusing ability are Chiron. That's how you can think of Chiron. And you can think of Chiron as the dance of putting that lens in front of your ability to see yourself. only this is a little bit more sublime, and part of how you see yourself is by projecting yourself out through the various media that you touch, whatever that might be. And of all the signs, you are gifted with an ability to turn everything and anything into art, and that is a beautiful gift of Pisces, and you have that. And with Neptune, with Chiron in Pisces, this is elevated considerably, and there is a great reward in looking at life through the accurate lens and of experimenting with the lens to look at life through, so that you can change. You can change viewpoints, you can change lenses, and see the world the way you need to see it, and to look at the world from different viewpoints, using the multiplicity thing about Pisces, where there can be many of something, to experiment with viewpoint. A very important thing in art: viewpoint and perspective. Where is in what is being described, from where is the artist, the writer, the musician perceiving, looking? Where is that? Where are the eyes and ears in the piece? Now, the addition of Neptune, which is a bit more recent, I think that's 2011, 2012, Neptune came in, that sounds about right. So pretty recent, past few years, Neptune has a way of being invisible and imperceptible, though it is likely that you experience some sense of relief around the 2012 era as time has gone on, when you it's almost as if you were like a saltwater fish, and you were being made to live in freshwater, and then suddenly the quality of the water changed and it was more your water. And that's how to think of Neptune in Pisces, at least in a good point of beginning of how to think about Neptune in Pisces. And I see and describe this as the refreshing of the creative waters of Pisces. It's as if an infinite amount of water has been added to Pisces through the inclusion and the addition of Neptune into your sign. And so there is a refreshing of the creative waters, and there is an abundant supply of creativity. But the important thing is that you have the capturing apparatus, the lens to focus the movie, the funnel to catch the water, the urn to catch the water in. And remember that, all the inspiration in the world doesn't help unless you have the means of focusing it and concentrating it into some form. And often that's exactly what creative and self-creative process is. That's what art is. It is taking inspiration and perception and observation and condensing it and concentrating it into a form that is tangible, able to be experienced by the senses, and then have its effect on the senses and the mind and the subtle senses. So you are this translator. And I would say that you're most likely to be represented in your own chart right now by Chiron and Pisces, but that's not going to last forever. I'm aware that a lot of my listeners are born in the 1960s and have Chiron natally in Pisces. That is a whole other conversation, but you're fortunate to have this focalizing ability. And then all Pisces are going through an extended, approximately 8-year phase, of which we're about 5 years in, of experiencing Chiron in Pisces, and in a sense being trained in how to focus your mind in this Chiron way. That the mere idea that you can take a lens and put it in front of that light and focus the movie, and the mere idea that you can use your own creative and self-creative process as a condenser of perception, emotion, thought, experience, and message is quite a lot of information to have when you're looking for a way to think of your existence metaphysically, for how to proceed in the world in a way that is satisfying. And for Pisces, I don't think really there's any life but a life that is creatively rich and also erotically rich in some way, erotically conscious, that's going to work for you. It is often the case that those Pisces who don't indulge in creative aspects and self-creative aspects and make their creativity their home and are not comfortable with their own eroticism turn to alcohol and other substances that are addictive and that are toxic and that ultimately smother creativity rather than stoking creativity. And so what I suggest you do is take the creative route. And you probably made your mind up by this point, but I will say that the reputation that that Pisces has for being a lush and never leaving the bar and all that stuff really is, I think, more than for any other sign about misdirected creative energy. And I'm in no way opposed to the conscious use of substances, but that's very different than the abuse of substances specifically for the purpose of substituting for creativity and drowning out your creative impulse. And with Neptune around, you know, you may be walking the line at a certain time, and you know, you may need to raise your awareness and make decisions and experiment with what works for you. Let's touch on Venus retrograde right now. And I've got two more topics to cover. Probably going to run a bit over time here because I want to cover two more houses, both of them involving fire signs. Oh, I didn't do Virgo. So let's briefly touch on Virgo. Suffice it to say, there is a lot of activity in Virgo. And there is a lot of relational activity that, therefore, in your life. And I would add two things here, one of which is to not let this distract you. And one of the ways to not let it distract you is to encounter and experience the world as some form of a creative partner. And that includes all the people in your life. And also to remember the extent to which you do need solitude. You do need your inner private time to process. And that, by the way, may include as many nights as you need sleeping alone. If you're the kind of person who's in a relationship and shares a household with someone, and therefore, as most people do, share a bed, the question is never really asked openly. Yeah, how many nights a week can most people stand to share a bed with someone? And we really live this one-size-fits-all model of move in, share a room, and be monogamous. I don't think that strict formula is going to work for you. I think that you need to be able to choose where you sleep and whether you sleep alone or with someone else. And that's part of this Gemini thing of needing the alternate spaces, the parallel lives in some way. And I consider that to be healthy. And I would just affirm for you, if you are someone who might doubt that, that it is true. And there you go. All right, next. There is an abundant kind of influx of relational energy in your life. And at the same time, you may feel a limit or a kind of narrowing of focus. And there's a couple of things there. One is that it's vital to have the right person or people around you. And it's vital to have the right people for what you might think of as the right purpose. The person who just not into their self-creative process might not be the right person for you. There needs to be some fluency and some fluidity when it comes to what you share with others. And so I would, you know, apply the test of specificity. What is the right thing for this relationship? What is the role this person should play in my life? And do have I assigned them the right role? And have they assigned themselves the right role? This is a question to, you know, ask and ponder and experience. The second thing is to, in a sense, take it as it comes and not hold people to a concept of permanence. You know, you need you are someone who will flow and go with the flow. Pisces and Cancer on the fifth house means that you need movement. And you might want to take that as an approach in your relationships. And in the chart that I'm using, by the way, the moon is in the seventh house, and that's another illustration of movement, change, progress, flow of relationships. Now, if we consider the Venus retrograde, I would say there is an overarching message of Venus retrograde in Leo, and you can see how this stacks up to your own experience, but I would say the necessity to retrieve a state of well-being. By that, I mean your definition of living well and what it means. It is very easy for Pisces to be self-sacrificing. It's very easy for Pisces to adapt and to endure conditions that don't necessarily work for you. And I'm just suggesting here that a kind of retrieval of your concept of well-being, including an experience of harmony with your work, with the work that you do, is vitally, vitally important. And this is the main thing that you can do to feed your self-creative process, is adapt your life. Always a gradual process, but I suggest you accelerate that gradual process and make the decisions that you know that you need to make. If you're not happy in your space, lay out the steps you need to establish a new space and get busy with that. But harmonize with your environment. And there is a retrieval described by Venus retrograde, and that is in Leo and in your sixth house. And this may be about going back to an earlier concept of work that worked for you, and also retrieving something of the connection between your best work and what you do every day and your self-creative process. There's something about aligning the various facets of your life that people often keep separate and divided, and integrating them into something, and remembering how you have discovered that you really do thrive when you are doing your best work, and to remember that your best work is always fed by your self-creative process. It may seem to be a tall order, but you can apply your creativity to this, and it will work. All right, one last house to go over, and this is a really exciting one. Sagittarius is your 10th solar house. This is the thing about the Pisces chart that says that when Pisces focuses its mind and its ability to choose and can direct its creativity, you are a high achiever. Indeed, Pisces is one of the signs that magnificently describes high achievement. And I don't mean getting high. I mean like real achievement and establishing something beautiful on the planet that feeds you. And it is interesting that astrology seems to have left this out for the most part of most of the sun sign descriptions I've read. Pisces is not described as being particularly ambitious and is often described as being way more laid back and lazy than I've seen most Pisces being. I mean, you might need to kind of cultivate a laid back approach because you are so nervous or driven. But in any event, I think that adding the placement of Sagittarius on the 10th house, the house of reputation and achievement, to Pisces tells us a lot when we consider the reality of that. And what is happening is that now this 10th house of yours is coming under focus because Saturn is transitioning from water sign Scorpio into fire sign Sagittarius. And so for the next more than 2 years, you're going to have Saturn on in your 10th house. And what that is saying is aim high. Aim to do the thing that you want to do. It is time to focus your real need and desire and destiny for achievement and to embody that Sagittarian energy. Saturn has a way of acting as a condenser, as something that kind of densifies things and brings them into form. Saturn's all about forms, and Sagittarius is all about vision. And so you're in a process, and you're going to enter that in a more bold way in September when Saturn changes signs, crosses your 10th solar house cusp, and stays there till late 2017. Having made a brief visit since very late 2014 into early 2015, then retrograded, then it'll come back to Sag and stay there for approximately 2 years in one season, a nice long time. And this is saying work your vision into substance, ground your vision in reality, and additionally project yourself into physical reality and build your reputation, build your achievements. This may begin with small achievements. Saturn loves to reward modest achievements that then accumulate and build, and to meditate on the idea that your life as a professional in the world, meaning someone who does things that involve others, that impact society in some way, is a centaur with a bow and arrow, and to consider where you run at that incredible speed that a horse can run and where you point that arrow to get the result that you want. This goes very nicely with Leo on the 6th and with Aries on the 2nd, and all of this fire sign activity is saying you are the person who aims your life, who chooses what filter to look at life through. You are the person who makes the most important decisions in your life, and you are the one who is the only person who can take initiative for yourself and initiate that which you want to begin. All right, Pisces cousin, that is my message for you and my message for me, and I will catch you over at a different sign. Please do listen to your other signs, your moon, your rising. I would give the sign Cancer a listen because that is your fifth house, and possibly Sagittarius because that is your 10th house where Saturn is going to be, and it would be, you know, helpful to just play signs at random, leave them going while you're making dinner or driving in your car, and just pick up the way that I have basically been looking at this same chart in many different ways for all of the 12 different viewpoints presented by astrology. All right. Thanks for hanging out with me here and for living your life to the fullest. You can reach me as ever at efc@ericfrancis.com, and I'll catch you somewhere else around the wheel. Bye for now.